quickly, I just want to, because that was kind of sad, amen. I was saying, how do you feel about your favorite basketball team? I could understand why you would give such a mediocre praise. If I was saying, you know, how do you feel about your favorite dessert? I could understand, because desserts don't always be on point. Sometimes they don't. I could understand why you would give such a mediocre praise. But I don't know about anybody else, but I was trained like this, that when I'm asked if I love God, my mind automatically reverts back to everything that He brought me through, just like that. And I don't have to, you don't have to ask me to do it again. You don't have to wonder if I'm fronting. You don't have to wonder if I'm faking. You understand what I'm saying to you? You know that I love God. So let me just ask you again, all over the building. How many in the building love God today? With the person that you were in a relationship with, and you was really trying to convey the depths of your love for that person. And the reason that she was doing it was because not just that you wanted them to know how much you love them, but she was also saying, take care of me. Because the love that I'm talking about that we should have for God, it should make you vulnerable. Lord have mercy. Because this type of love says, I love you so much that whatever you say, do, I'll do. Whatever you say, say yes to, I'll say yes to. Whatever you tell me to walk away from, that I will walk away from, because I love you so deeply. I believe that God's investment was so major in being His son that we should really want to have a clear cut. We want God to have a clear cut understanding about how we love Him. And there should never be a time when we say that we love God more than anything, but then show more love to everything else but God. Amen. I believe that in 2022 that it is time for all the mature saints to stop playing. You know, in fact, let me say it like this. It's time for saints to get mature. And it should be without question how much you love God. See, there can be some questions in the saints' life. There can be some, we can question a few things about your life, but what should never be able to be questioned is your love for God. Do you walk that way and say, if you do, just make some noise in the house. Now I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to make some people upset, but that's what I do. That can be questioned. For every noise that was made, every shout, every hand clap, it can be questioned. It can be questioned. Because, and the reason it can be questioned is because we base our love contingent upon how we feel love is. So if I say that I love God this deeply, if I love God this way, then that's just what it is, because I said that. But I want you to understand, God don't care about what you said. He watches what you do. Amen. And you know, it used to be this old apostolic preacher. He used to get on my nerves. Every time we go somewhere, he preached the same sermon. Just preach the same sermon. I got it the way the Bible said. Amen. But then I got a little older in my walk, and I began to understand, and I began to watch other walks around me, and I began to understand that it is so critical to get it the way the Bible says. It don't make no never mind how you feel. It don't make no never mind how you look at it. It don't make no never mind what your grandmama said you was. You got to know that you're in a place with God the way the Bible says you. See, I should have clapped your hands right there. You just told on yourself right there. So let me go ahead and bless somebody here today. I hear you, Holy Ghost. You can't know that you got it the way the Bible says get it if you don't read the Bible. Yeah. And I don't know why, but I'm being led to tell somebody, hey, quit reading them verses you already know. Quit reading them verses. quit reading them verses to make you feel good about yourself. Read the Bible. we're going to do something tonight because we're going to have the sermon series of God Willing and the Creek Don't Rise starting Sunday called My Dark Passenger. And the one thing that is going to always and will always be able to defeat this dark passenger will be wisdom. And so we did a Bible study a couple of months ago on wisdom, and I don't think we have about seven people in here. And I said that I was going to redo this because I felt like it was necessary. But and I think it's really necessary going into this next week if the Lord allows us to see next week. I'm sorry, Children's Church. Are we doing Children's Church today? Sweetheart, are we doing Children's Church today? Okay, Children's Church is open. Children's Church is open. Youth can go to the youth spots. Hey, man, we can burn up a lot of gas and hurry up and run and get people from this side of town to that side of town. For y'all have to go learn. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap for our youth and our kids. Amen. Now, I want to show you something. How many was coming to church around 2 months ago, 3 months ago, and the momentum for the Unity Worship Center was like off the hook, right? And we was doing what we've done when we first got here, and it was 30 kids just in Children's Church alone running out to the church. I mean, to Children's Church. Y'all remember that? Well, what God does sometimes is he puts people in a position to where we get to see him. Me and Miriam get to see him out. And we get to ask, where are your kids at? It blows their minds. We didn't ask about them because if you wanted to come, you'd be here. But your kids ain't got no. And they, let me tell you something. Can I tell y'all something? How old was that baby? We had a nine-year-old call the church and ask about how to get the van to come pick her up because mama don't come to church. Now, listen to what I just said to you. Found the number to the Unity Worship Center. She's a member here. This child is a member here. She knows where she's supposed to be on Sundays and Wednesdays. And she says, I'm trying to figure out how I can get the van to pick me up because my mama don't come to church. That's crazy, right? Thank God that she has a zeal for God like that. But isn't it sad that at that age she has to take on that responsibility herself? So we're going to be campaigning all next week because we're going to be starting some new things this coming Sunday. And one of the things that we're just going to tell the parents, if you don't come, that's cool, but we can still go get your kids. You know, let somebody babysit them besides PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5. You know, let somebody babysit them that's going to put a word into their life that might help them through life. Amen? Yeah. So tonight we're going to talk about, I don't know where I was before I started talking about children's church, but today we're going to talk about wisdom a little bit, because it's going to, for where God has us headed, it's going to take wisdom to get through it. Amen. And so it's something that we're going to talk about. When talking about wisdom, it's something that we all need, but not only need, but also need to be operating in at all times. Wisdom. Anytime that you find yourself not operating in wisdom, you are operating to the contrary, which is in foolishness. Wisdom. Wisdom's not popular because wisdom doesn't give you the feel that foolishness does. Okay. Can I say that again? Wisdom doesn't give you the feel good that foolishness does. How many will attest to the fact that foolishness can sometimes feel real good? And how many will also attest to the fact that every time that you've operated in foolishness has also come back to bite you? Oftentimes in more ways than one. And so I found a couple of definitions for wisdom that I want to share with you. And if you remember the series Walking in Wisdom, some of these definitions you'll remember. But one of them was the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Now, that's powerful right there. And even though we've done this a couple of months ago, and it was in a Bible study setting, think about that word. Let me ask you a question. How many of us really operate in good judgment? In good judgment in every area of our lives all the time. Think about this. Because the reality is there's a whole lot of telltale signs that we haven't been walking in good judgment, that we don't operate in good judgment as much as we should. And how much should you walk in good judgment? All the time. Good judgment's not popular either, because good judgment has restraints. Lord have mercy. Good judgment tells you, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't operate in that manner. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't fool with them. You shouldn't. Good judgment would have saved us a whole lot of peace, money, time, had we used it at all times. So off the top, we know that wisdom is gained through many different areas. Wisdom can be received through experience, knowledge from things that you have studied, and as the definition says, good judgment. Something else I found interesting was, when I was looking up the definition of wisdom, was knowledge that is gained by many experiences in life. And so if you acquire a wisdom that is gained by many experiences in life, my question becomes, why do we continue to fall victim to the same things? Do you know that failure is some of the best wisdom? Lord have mercy. I wrote a book about it. A failure is some of the best wisdom, some of the best situations to learn from. Failure. You could walk through life off your five major failures and never mess up again. Now that's deep. And the reason it's deep is because many of us have lived more than a little bit. And with that living comes experience. Experience used wisely is wisdom. Experience used unwisely or not at all is self-abuse. Let me say that again. Did you hear me? Wisdom not used wisely nor at all is self-abuse. You cannot blame anybody for how they do you if you continue to go back to continue to get done. The first time, shame on them. The second time, shame on me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Sadly enough, the church is full of people who have been damaged, duped, or played more than once in the same scenario. And it brings to mind the scripture, Proverbs 26, verse number 11. And it says, and Kim doesn't have any of my scriptures, so she ain't slow and none of that. She's dope. She's a bomb. I just said, because there ain't no telling where we're going to go today. And so she had no scriptures. But Proverbs 26 and 11, and it says, and she told me too, she said, now look, since we're doing it like this, don't get mad at me. Can y'all tell I be getting mad sometimes? Can y'all tell that? But then guess what? That's experience. And wisdom. Proverbs 26 and 11 says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. So, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Now I just want to share this in the New Living Translation, because it uses a word that's very popular in the world as well as in the church. You hear people in the world and the church say this. And in the New Living Translation, it says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Now, how many times he's on straight foolishness. That's just foolishness. That just don't make no sense. You understand? And so the Bible says here, and this is Solomon talking, the wisest king to ever rule. The wisest king to ever rule is King Solomon, David's son. But he's saying here, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Now, and I talked about this in the series about the dog. If you ever had a dog or had somebody with a dog or been around a dog long enough, you'll know that one of the craziest things that a dog does is that when it's sick, it throws up. Just as we humans do, right? If we're having some type of stomach ailment or whatever, when we're, and we throw up, right? But what's weird about the dog is, if the dog is able to be around the throw up long enough, guess what the dog will do? He'll go back and lick it back up. Now, 9 times out of 10, the sickness was in the throw up. And we say, what is wrong with the dog? Why would the dog lick up the throw? I mean, first of all, that's just nasty to lick up vomit, right? But then I could ask some of you in here today, and you could ask me even today. I pride myself in being real, because I've licked vomit a few times in my life. Ooh, Lord. You see. So just as we would ask, what's wrong with the dog that he's licking his vomit? The dog could sit back and say, I'm in the house when he's going upside your head. Why do you return to your foolishness? You get rid of the situation, and then you go right back to it. I'm in the house when he steals your money. I'm in the house. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm there when you're emotionally destroyed. Why do you return back to it? And it's a word. There's a word that it's not in my study today, but it's kind of deep to me. And the word has been dealing with me a lot. Loneliness. This loneliness is a cold word. Loneliness. And I don't think that everybody that returns back to their vomit, there's reasons for this. See, have you ever felt about yourself, can we just be real? Have you ever stuck with somebody because you didn't feel like you was ever going to get nobody else? You know, if I don't stay in this relationship, then don't nobody else gonna want me. See, you got to be careful about how you let people build you and break you down. See, because some people can build you up on total negativity. Your whole stance be built on how bad they told you you are. Have you ever questioned though? But if I'm this bad, why you want me? If I'm this bad, why you stay with me? If I'm ugly, if I'm bad, if I'm stupid, if I'm all the things that you try to continuously make me feel that I am, then why do you stay around? You see? Yeah. I want to say this, and I don't know who I'm talking to today, but some people, I've heard people say stuff like this, at least I ain't by myself. Baby, you are by yourself. You are by yourself. And it ain't just women. Men do it too. Men stay in abusive relationships. They get to looking at her and going, I ain't never going to score like this again. I mean, look at her. And that will make them say, because they don't feel like they're wanted, they're worthy. So they'll sign off the check. Here's a car. You understand what I'm saying to you? Foolishness. See, this is why it's so important. This is why I push this here at Unity. You have to learn your worth. You got to learn your worth. And I don't know, just call me crazy, but if God thought you were, I think a singer said it, he thought you was worth saving, then he sent his son, Lord have mercy, to die on the strength of you, then, and when you begin to understand that, and you begin to understand how awesome and how majestic God is, when you begin to understand that, people can't tell you who you are and what you are. You understand what I'm saying to you today? When you begin to understand that when Jesus came down and made himself of no reputation, found it out robbery to make himself of no reputation, he said, because Whitney is more than worth money can buy. That's what he said. It's because VA is worth more than, but then you ever been in a place where you have to question God because you've been beat down so low? But if I was so special, then why does these things continue to happen to me? And can I tell you, Lord, I didn't even know I was going here today. The reason why it continues to go the way that they go is not because Satan is so powerful, but because you lack faith. See, you have to have faith. That if this joker who don't value you and value your worth, then no, you understand, and don't see the godliness in you, you gotta have faith that God made somebody that will. Yeah, you gotta have faith for that. And that's hard, isn't it? That's hard because don't nobody wanna watch, the Blacklist by themselves. It's my favorite show, sorry. No, nobody wants to watch TV alone. Nobody wants to eat by themselves every day. So we take it. But the reality is if we operated in the faith of God, your worth would always be at your forefront. You see? You can't be 30 minutes late. Because you gotta know my worth. You can't just not show up and not call. You better know my worth. Because Abba, my father, Lord have mercy, sent my brother down to die for me because he knew my worth. And if he knew my worth, you see, you better. Now the definition of foolishness in the natural means, and this explains a lot, lack of good sense, judgment, or stupidity. Lack of good sense or judgment or stupidity. Now, it deal with lack of good sense. So, like, I don't necessarily, I'm not even going to front like I know how good sense is acquired. But I'm going to tell you how I think good sense can be mishandled through training. I think that, okay, so maybe that's how you get that good sense. Or you get that sense, whether it's good sense or bad. Because you always tell me, you ain't got no good sense, but let's talk about the bad sense. See, maybe we don't have good sense because of how we were trained. Most of us, I'm not going to say most because I don't know all of your histories, but I know that everybody that I get out with, for the most part, everybody that I'm super cool with, we come from issues in the home. We come from things not being handled quite correctly. You understand what I'm saying to you? And as much as I, how many grew up saying stuff like this? When I get grown, I ain't never gone. You saw it as a child. You saw it. And you was like, you know, I know you love me. I know you care about me, but you don't know what you're doing in this situation, you know? Maybe I should go stay with grandma. You understand what I'm saying? Granny's lights never get cut off. Granny don't have violence in her home. Granny don't call me names that no child should be called. And so I receive sense from who trains me. Lord, how much? And this begins to, does that make sense? And so this begins, now, how many of you grew up and said, as you was growing up, you said, I ain't going to never be like such and such, and grew up and found out you was just like them? When it hits you like a ton of bricks, that you was just like who you said you'd never be like, it ruined your day. But I want you to know, you don't have to stay that way. And so it says, foolishness is a lack of good sense, judgment, or stupidity. Now people get mad about being called stupid, and they should. But I believe, you know, here's why, stupid to me, I always tell you, ignorance can be remedied by wisdom, but stupid, I don't think it can be remedied, because see, stupid, when you're talking about stupid, it usually means when someone has access to wisdom, but they choose not to use it. That's stupid. You understand what I'm saying to you? When a person sees and knows how this is going to play out, yet they do it anyway, that's stupid. They have tried it before. When I was in penitentiary, I read this article about, and it was a Christian article, but it was talking about the bird. And it talks about how if a bird is flying down the street, right, and it sees a net of any sort, the bird automatically assumes the net is for him. Oh, Lord. And guess what? The bird will never journey down that street again in its existence. It will never go down that street again simply because he believes there is something that is waiting there to snag him. Oh, God. Wouldn't it be beautiful if we all had the mindset of the bird in this situation? Can I go ahead and make it plain? So I always bring up women. So let me bring up men. But I feel like women gonna get it. You knew Thick Shonda. You knew her reputation. You saw her in action. You knew she wasn't down with nobody. You knew she was cutthroat. You knew she was a gold digger. You know she didn't love nobody. But Thick Shonda was Thick Shonda. And Thick Shonda showing Kendall some attention. Kim, I'm just making an example. I heard the computer rock up there. Listen, but Thick Shonda was, we called her Thick Shonda for a reason, and all of a sudden she's showing Kenneth some attention. But Kenneth has seen the net. But it's Thick Shonda. Can I reverse it? He didn't take care of it. He always got time to call you. He's always on the phone with you. I don't care what time of the day you call him. And you know what they tell you? He ain't got no job. But then also, you done heard about how he's in, you know, how he beats up his girls, how he cheats on them, and how he don't take care of his kids. In fact, you know this for a fact. But he sure is fine. And he showed you some attention. And if you would be the bird. But because we aren't the bird, we become statistics. Because we won't be the bird. See, after you've been hurt in relationships,
You ought to have a bird mentality. You understand what I'm saying to you? And it don't mean that you don't give nobody a chance. It just means that when you see things that have educated you from the pain before, Lord have mercy, from the pain before, you step back. I was on Zoloft because of that street. You understand what I'm saying to you? I had to go to a credit repair because of that street. I thought about slitting my wrist on the street of that street. I'm going down, never to return. Ain't no use you even speaking to me in Walmart. I'm not even going to speak to you. You dangerous. Am I making sense in here today? You see? We've got to get to the point to where we stop going back to the foolishness. This is the biggest problem in 21st century Christendom, is that we don't get the babes in Christ to stay long enough to disciple them so that they can see the goodness of God. Because that flesh, Lord have mercy, that flesh is constantly calling and calling and calling. And because of the 21st century church, we don't disciple like they used to. See, I remember times since I grew up in the old Baptist church, and when you first gave your life to God, everybody was at your house. For the next 3 weeks, you didn't have no life. Everybody was at your house. I just brought some pudding. I just brought some stuff. And they meddling, too. Yes, let's have Bible study. And don't have nobody in there that was supposed to be in there, because they going to have Bible study, too. We just going to pray all the sin away. Looking at you coming like this, all the sin away. Anoint that. You remember them days? They come in, anoint your house. But you know what? It's because people had a love for people. And people wanted to see people saved. See, when I came out of drug addiction, drug use, and drug selling, when I came out of fornication, when I came out of all of these things, when I came out of all these things, it was killing me softly, right? Killing me slowly. What I didn't want for anybody else that was coming to Christ, because I knew that. You ever see somebody come to Christ and you know they struggle? And when you see it, it hurts you. It burns you because you remember where you was. And so back then, the saints loved people enough to where they, I'm going to cover you until you're strong enough to walk yourself. We don't do that anymore. Too many good shows. Too many streaming networks. Too busy trying to keep our own straight. We don't do that anymore. We don't go the whole nine yards to make sure our folk is okay. We don't do that anymore. So guess what? Satan's not worried about new converts coming to the church because he know church ain't gonna handle his business. Church, and church women used to have the power. Remember that? Y'all remember that? When church women ain't got no power no more, not in the 21st century, because she's too busy looking for her boo or her bae. She can't be the mentor anymore. And we got to get to the point in church, watch this, we got to get to the point in church where we stop always being messed up. We are the sorriest example of Christianity in the history of Christianity. I mean, what is it about God's Holy Ghost? What is it about your issues, your isms, your evils that God get to you and be like, I ain't got no answers. No. You got to want this thing. You got to want to be okay. You got to be okay with being okay. Isn't it sad that we live in a time that when life is actually going okay, you really don't know what to do with yourself? We really don't know what to do when everything is all right. So what do? We self-sabotage. I'm talking to somebody. I don't even know what I'm talking to. So let's have a story. Okay. All right. So get this. I also want to share a biblical definition of foolishness, and this gets really deep. Foolish would mean that the person does not fear or respect God. In other words, that person doesn't believe there is accountability or justice here or in the afterlife. And he or she doesn't believe in God's word, the Holy Bible. Now, I'm going to say this to you. We got a whole lot of people in the church. We got some people in this church, and we got a whole lot of people in church, period, in general, right? In church every Sunday. Playing on the keyboards, playing on the drums, singing, deacons, pastors. You understand what I'm saying to you? And they pastors to fulfill this out themselves. So since we got 73-74%, and they ain't for real about it, look how many, we got 73% of the pastors are wolves. You have no right to expect holiness from them. You have no, oh God, ain't that deep? You have no reason to expect values and God-like morals from them. And this is why you run around here with everybody screaming, church hurt, because they are connected to ministries that are more concerned with their employment, you see, than your empowerment. So if I don't really believe this stuff, you know, I went to school to do it because I see that it pays good if you get picked by the right church. Then don't expect holiness from me. Don't expect me to pray over you when a miracle happens, because I don't really believe in miracles. I just say this stuff because this is what we're taught to say. It's kind of like when you're taught to weld. I don't know. I got any welders in the house? That when you know, they tell you what to do to weld, and you do it so that the product comes out the way that you want it to be. But you're done with it after that. So you got 73-74% of pastors who are preaching to you what they get from Pathway. What they get from Pathway bookstores, and they're done with you after that. And you're trying to figure out why they don't return your call. And you're trying to figure out why they don't return your text. You hold up, wait a minute. You're trying to figure out why you can't have their number anyway. Why you always got to go through somebody to get to somebody to get to him. Because he's a hireling. This ain't his heart. This is his career. Well, hold on before we get on him. What about the people that's been in church all their life that's supposed to know something about the truths of God? Got a whole lot of them too, who do not fear the word of God, sat in church any kind of way they want to. See, I understand, because I'm going to tell you something. When I was on the run, and my grandmother, she played a cold game on me, and I had just smoked weed. I'm going to tell you the truth. I just smoked weed, and my grandmother was trying to get me saved. She was trying to get me saved, and I was on the run, and she said, Stephen, because, you know, I give my life for my Gigi, and she said, Stephen, I need you to, I need a ride to church, the Bible study night. And I said, all right, Gigi, I got you. You know what I'm saying? No problem. And so I was hoping to get her, and, you know, I'm high, you feel me? But I'm just trying to do my best grandson impression in front of my Gigi. Because, you know, and so we get to the church, and she prays me. She says, my legs are hurting so bad today. Baby, you think you're going to help Gigi up the steps? And she said, well, you know, it's one thing you say you have a grandma. But when she said to me, Gigi, you know, you just like, I was like, yes, ma'am. So now we're at the steps, and she's playing it out. You hear me? I mean, she is playing it out. Woo! You know, all that. And so I got the Bible. I got a bag. Because, you know, I always throw Bibles in the bag. I got the Bible in the bag. I don't know what's in the bag. And so I open the door. And then I know she says, I said, you just want to sit back here? I said, no, I like that. Right. Just, you know, all you got to do is walk me in and I'm ripped, but I was born in the church. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I know I'm dead wrong walking up in here the way I am now. I am totally out of my mind. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I walk up to the front, and then my uncle is the pastor. That don't make no, oh, good, Stephen. Good to see you're going to stay with us today. And from that moment, thank you, sir. I got it up here. And from that moment, watch this. From Wednesdays, from 4 to 8, I ain't smoked nothing. Just in case she called and did that again. Now, I want you to catch what I'm saying, though. I was a Muslim. I was a gang member. I was a drug dealer. I was a fornicator. But I had enough respect for God to say, I'm going to wait till she ain't going to call. And she already got a ride. And she got a ride home. Because I'm going to go get her and do whatever she asks. But I'm not going to go in his house like that again. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, I was Muslim, but I would ride around this, on Cameron Road, I would ride around this bend. You remember where the church is right there? Yeah. And they would, I would see beer cans beer cans and bottles. You know how you can just see things as you run. And I would pull over into the church. And, you know, it was like a Monday or Tuesday or whatever. And so the people for the church ain't been there yet. And I'm picking up E&J bottles and beer cans, Coke 45. And I'm thinking to myself, if I ever catch who's doing this. I'm Muslim, but I've got enough regard for the Lord to know that you don't do this. Today, we don't fear the Lord. We don't fear the Lord. You see, we don't fear the Lord. So we do whatever. And as the Bible says in the book of James, these things ought not be so. All right, check this out. So the Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of what? Wisdom. And I want to share something with you that I found on gotquestions.com. And it says about this verse, and it goes a little further. Let's listen. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Basically, this verse teaches that the fear of God is foundational to true wisdom. When you don't fear God, you ain't got no wisdom. Not no real wisdom. And so it goes on to say, it says, before we can understand how the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom, we need to define what the Bible means by fear in this context. In the Bible, the word translated fear can mean several things. It can refer to the terror one feels in a frightening situation. It can mean respect in a way of a servant fears his master and serves him faithfully. Fear can also denote the reverence or awe a person feels in the presence of greatness. The fear of the Lord is a combination, and I want you to get this, the fear of the Lord is a combination of all of these. The fear of the Lord can be defined as the continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything we think, say, and do. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. I want to see your hands. How many of you have not thought about that, let's just say in the last week? And you're in church, so ain't no, don't be lying. How many of you have not thought about that? Thought about what? Thought about this, that our Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think, say, or do. How many of us have not thought about that this week? So, think about it. It's powerful, isn't it? Everything you think, say, or do, he's evaluating. I feel the uneasiness in the room. You see what I'm saying, Jim? Not just what you hear, but what you talk about. See, do you know, they say, you can't control your thinking. Yes, you can. You put that word in you deep enough, yes, you can. Because when thoughts begin to come up against your thinking from a mind that is totally sold out to Christ and to the Word of God, and let me just tell you something, you can't be sold out to Jesus but not his Word. So you don't get to go around here, shout, scream, snot, and you don't read no Bible. Stop it, you're frightened. You see? Because God and his word is the same. So as important as God is to you, so is his word. And as important as his word is to you, so is God. So get this. Have you stopped to think that he's evaluating everything you even think? So some of you have had some pretty slick thoughts since I started today. He's evaluating. he's evaluating. Think about that. This is a God you serve that no man, so man don't catch it, but God's right in the midst of it. Evaluating. Now, if it's sin that you're thinking, if it's sin that you're doing, he's right there. And when we begin to, so when you begin to put the word of God so deeply down on the inside of you, sinful thoughts can come, but they never get through the door. Well, how do you know that? Because he said, my word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Heart translates to mean mind. He says that I hid it in my mind so that I won't sin against you. So that when sin comes this way, the word knocks it down. Now, how many of you are using the Bible in the correct manner today? That when sin hits your doorstep, you don't respond in the flesh. You don't respond with a Facebook post. You respond in the word. It's automatic. The word just begins to. You see what I'm saying to you? Lord, have mercy. Now Jesus told each of the seven churches in Revelation, I know your works. Nothing escapes his attention. He told all the churches in Revelation, I know your works. In order to develop a fear of the Lord, we must recognize God for who he is. We must glimpse with our spirits the power, might, beauty, and brilliance of our Lord God Almighty. Those who fear the Lord have a continual awareness of him, a deep reverence for him, and a sincere commitment to obey him. Listen, you're not obeying God because you're scared of him. You know that you graduated in a place in your walk where you obey God because you love him. I remember when Chris gets saved, Lord, don't let two unsaved people be in a relationship trying to be saved. Because you hear the craziest stuff. But most people will not sin because I don't want to go to hell. No, you want to get to the point where you don't sin because you don't want to hurt your father. Yeah. I love him too much. No. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to cheat on my spouse because not because I'm concerned with what they'll get in alimony or what they'll get out of the divorce. Yeah, no, I don't want to cheat on them because I Not because of what he does for you. You gotta love him because of who he is. Who he is. Because if you see, here's the reality. A whole lot of what God does for you, you don't even see. My God. So if you're gonna predicate your love upon what he does for you, for real, because let's just be real. The church today, the 21st century westernized church, we take waking up for granted. We wake up like we were supposed to. I know. Does not come out of most of our mouths when we open our eyes. Now, it's real churchy to say in front of people, but remember, he's there. An iPhone catches your attention quicker than the throne. You see? And it ain't even checking for phone calls, running to Facebook. Like they can save you. We wake up and we already play that off, and then we're able to look around and you see who God has blessed you to love. You see your beautiful children. You see, hey, maybe your grandchildren stayed over the night, and you see your beautiful grandchildren, and you don't thank God that you're able to see. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because we just take that for granted. Get in the car and start up, and it better start up. It's a 19, and you start up, and it starts up, and you think. Don't you understand? So what I'm learning is I'm blessing God for what I don't know. The wreck that he kept me from. The shooting, the bullet that didn't hit me. Lord have mercy. I'm thanking God that they was going to rob the store. But then I walked in, and then for some reason they said it don't feel right. And I didn't lose my life in a robbery. I thank God for that. Have you ever stopped to just think about what you ought to be thinking? You know, I read this book, and it talks about how there are angels amongst around all of us 24/7, and they are warring on our behalf. And so when you just missed that car, and you don't know how you missed it, it wasn't you, baby. It was the angel. Look, I'm asking, I don't hear me in here. Yeah, how many times have you seen people post and say, I don't know how. I know how you made it through that. I'm almost done. I'm not, but I know when to stop. There's a sharp contrast between the wise life and the foolish life. A wise person fears, reverences, obeys the Lord, and a fool despises God's instructions and cannot be told what to do. Anybody know some people who can't nobody tell them what to do? Anybody ever know somebody that you can't tell them nothing? Have you ever been told, can't nobody tell you nothing? And let me tell you something. And that first one might have been a hater, but if you hear it from three people, you might want to think about it, right? Especially if you hear it from two people that don't know each other. Uh-oh. So I want you to get this. Romans 1, 21 through 22 speaks of those who neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. this is a description of people who try to obtain wisdom while ignoring God. It cannot be done for the simple reason that God is the source of wisdom. I'm going to close right here. I'm going to tell you this story now. I was having an issue with a guy one time, and he was homosexual. And he was doing a whole lot, and, you know, like, it was all over media. And I'm sitting back like, why are people? So I'm thinking that the people that I'm talking to is trustworthy. You know, I'm just talking. I'm just saying how I feel about this cat. You know what I'm saying? Because not only is he doing a lot, he's causing a lot of problems. And he got a fan base. Trips me out. They get fan bases. And not set them down. So here's what trips me out, right? So I said something to someone, and they took it back to him. And he said to them, no, he said to someone else that they knew, he knew would get it back to me. He said, your pastor Lyons is homophobic. Well, at the time, I just must confess that I didn't know what that word meant. But I showed it like I would sound. So I told them to tell him that I'm going to look that word up. And if it is messed up in any sense, in any shape, form, or fashion, we are done talking through people. Homie, I'm coming to see you. Pray for me. I've only been pastor about 2 years at this time. And so I go and look the word up, and it just said basically that I was scared of homosexuals. And that's kind of what the definition I got. And I said, well, that ain't true. You know, especially not him. You know what I'm saying? I'm all in the flesh at this moment. I said, that ain't true. I just don't like your spirit. So I didn't take it back to the person who, you know, I waited until I seen him at a concert. Came on stage and I said, man, I don't know what you're doing. I was kidding around. You had a lot to say about me without me around. Man, that was as much as you can now. I'm not afraid of you. I'm afraid of what you're doing to people. For whatever reason, however you pull this off, people follow you. And they take your word over the word of God. You'll stand up there and you'll sing and stomp around and cry on stage like you really care about how God feels about things. And then you're going to lay up with another man. And all these people, they follow you. And everybody that follows you, I know some of those people, they wasn't always the way that they are now. So not only are they following you, they're picking up on your traits. This is real. This happens. He didn't have anything to say. Why is this moving his life that time? He didn't have anything to say. So I'm talking to my spiritual mother, Robert Kennedy, and she rushed to me and said, God be happy with her. And I said, Mama, I do not understand how they can know the Bible but totally go against it. And the first time I had ever heard this word in this manner, she said, baby, be careful of self-righteousness. I said, I don't understand. She says, this is when people get to the point in themselves where only what they believe is right. They're not concerned with what the Bible says, what their own is right. And the problem is he has a following that makes him believe he's who he thinks he is. I come to tell you today that that's not just happening in the homosexual community. You got Facebook ghetto theologians who will tell you everything about the Bible. Though they've never read the Bible 5 times. They'll break the Bible up and make it a racial conflict. They'll take this beautiful word of God and try to stop black people from reading it, though they've never read it, and say things like, well, you know, the white man made that up. Which gives me the implication that you do not like white people. You sure give them a whole lot of credit. They awful darn smart, awful prophetic. You know, and what if the white man did mean? What if we did get it from the white man? Where'd he get it from? Explain that one. Where'd he get it from? See, all of these things that we're following, it's just not the homosexual culture. It's the don't fool with that because that ain't for our people culture. And so now you got another realm of people out here, the Israelites. That me being a black man, I'm ashamed of them. I mean, they're stupid times three. I said it. Keep your kids away from them, because what they're doing is they're taking their kids and they're pushing this into their kids, and their kids is pushing this into schools. And now kids is going to school and coming home with purple t-shirts. You got to watch out for this thing right here. And it's all because, and I figured this thing out. It's all because the word of God is so powerful that the enemy has everything in every form, shape, form, and fashion coming up against us. And we've got to be ready. You got to use wisdom. You married, stay to your spouse. Keep your eyes off everything else. You got a job, do it. Do it to the fullest. Work unto the Lord as you are working unto the Lord, not unto men. You have people watching you. Let me tell you, if you're in church, you are training. Because there's people watching you, listening for what you say. Do you know how many people you let down on a daily, you can be letting down on a daily basis, not walking in wisdom? They're looking for you to be the way because you say you go to church. I'm going to say this real quickly, and I'm out. If you're going to be sinful, don't you be telling nobody you go to her. Don't you tell nobody you go to her. Branding is everything. You hear me? Branding is everything. Now listen to what I said. If you're just going to be sinful, that means you're making a decision that you're just going to do wrong. Don't be telling people you go to her. Because they won't think that you're learning the truth here. Why come here if this is what you want? Wisdom at all times. You know how we stop our children from being stupid? Operating wisdom in front of them. How many times have you seen people on Facebook and they're talking about their dad or their mom? They go, my father operated in complete wisdom all the time. I mean, he did the right thing. He got it. And then when you step back and you read this, and you look at them and you go, yeah, because you're a pretty cool dude. You got it together. You got it together. You can see you was trained properly. Some of you got nieces and nephews. You're training. Train them in wisdom. So some of them don't never. Some of y'all got nieces and nephews don't never make it to church. Go get them. Go get them. They need to be around you if you're operating in wisdom, godly wisdom. Amen. Amen. We lose them because there ain't no wisdom in the play. Yeah, we have now over 290 funerals since the pandemic. Old people out loving the young people. Because the young people ain't got no wisdom. Some of the training, not all the training, but the majority of the training was faulty. When a child dies and the father jumps on Facebook and says, my little gangster, he never stood a chance. If that shooting didn't get him, the next one was gonna. That's what you come back with when your son dies. You still my little gangster. They should charge you. They should charge you too. Anybody want to join a church? There's anybody in the building that does not have a church home? My desire is the worship center to be their church home. They feel like they can grow here and do some great things here. We offer you the invitation to come down. We would love for you to know. Hallelujah. We would love for you to come and be a part of what it is that we're doing. Amen. Amen. I love rededication, because it tells me that I don't have to stay where I'm at, no matter how bad off I might be. I have a right to be restored. Amen. I'm promised I can be restored if I confess all my sins. It says He's just and faithful to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I bless the Lord for that. Amen. Because that lets me know that we serve a God that didn't think we was going to get it all right the first time out. If we have anybody in the building today that says, listen, I need prayer. Now, before you jump up and run down here, don't ask for prayer for what you really don't want to change. And don't ask God for something that's against His word. Some of you have been praying for them relationships, and they ain't never going to work out because they are not of God. And you're just wasting time. Some of you are praying for some things that ain't never going to come to pass. And you ought to thank God for it, because it's not of God. Hallelujah. We're here for prayer today. Membership today. Bless the Lord. Let me pray with you. You got to already lay hands on me. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we come and pay thank you for all things. We thank you because you are an awesome God. Father, we lift this woman of God unto you, Lord. And we ask that you touch her where she is, God. Every issue that she has, that she's going through, Lord, I ask that you deal with her. I speak, decree, and declare with confidence and expectation, breakthrough, new beginnings, fresh starts, right now in the name of Jesus. I come up against every attack that comes up against her, not just her, but her family. And I speak victory over every area of her life. I speak victory, God. In Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Listen, the Lord says, you're free. Look at your hand, you're free. Go hard now. Don't fall back into the hand of the enemy. Don't give this up on real one. He said, you made it through every storm. Every storm. You walked through it. You walked through it. Fell down, got back up. Fell down, got back up. But you walked through it. He says, now stay with me, because I got something for you. How many of you understand this? That God has blessings upon blessings that He's not been able to give you, because you're just not where you need to be to be able to receive